talking a day or so ago about the fact that the two classes are continuing each to develop its own personality and its own way of looking at things and doing things, and it's interesting to be able to go back and forth between the two and note the differences. You all see one of those, and so you don't see that. I do need to tell you that. That's probably a good idea that in doing that. Sandy, let's make sure that the prayer request that you put down, see me for a minute afterwards, make sure I get that down because I'm passing that on to Bill and Becky. Some of you might not be aware, Bill Edwards will be going into a deployment of sorts, probably for, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. He's not going overseas, but his responsibility with the Virginia Air National Guard require that he have training in the jets that they're going to fly. You're not allowed to command if you don't fly the planes that the folks are flying. And so he gets to fly the hottest hot rod that the Air Force has, the F-22, and he's going to go for training on that. And before he comes back, he should be flying it some. Trainers first and then the other later. But he is going to be in and out for the next little while, so we have to work on making sure that we get things into the prayer list properly. I think everybody has been here enough that I don't need to go too far with setting the stage for you. We are working. we're past a year that we've been doing this. We're about 14 months into working on lists out of the Bible, and probably will be in here in that same thing for at least that long to come. We're in the middle of a section that is going to have three parts. We're looking at three different sections of Scripture, all arising out of a study that T.W. Hunt put together with Claude King called The Mind of Christ. Many of you have that workbook and are working through that. It's going to strengthen your experience in here to do that. And we are looking now at words that come out of James chapter 3, verse 17, I think it is. And we have done five of these words: pure and peaceable, gentle and entreatable, and last week we did merciful. These are words that describe how Jesus worked and functioned and how we are called to work and function. The background for this is that there is a narrow way that we are called to. Jesus said that. And one way of seeing that narrow way is through the lens of these words. These words describe characteristics, traits of behavior and of attitude that we are to have in our lives and to encourage in our lives. Satan is going to try to pull us to the opposite of these, and if Satan's not successful at doing that, then he's going to try to push us to pervert this, to go beyond this, what each term means. And so that's the picture in which we're looking at this. When we finish this list, we will move to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. When we finish that list, we will move to the Beatitudes. And when we finish that list, we'll pant real hard and think about what we're going to do next. So we come this morning to the word fruitful. And I want to begin, as we have begun, with synonyms for this. Some of you who have the workbooks can cheat. Cheating is encouraged if you have a workbook. I don't know that you want to just blurt them out in a long list. It won't necessarily help quite as much as watching them come forward a little at a time. But what are some synonyms for this? Fruitful.
Productive.
Productive.
And destructive.
Bountiful.
Bountiful.
You have a piece of paper there. That's good. You have the flashcard, don't you?
I decided no need to be taking notes because I'm just.
Oh, you might still want to take a note here and there. Read the word again.
Constructive.
Constructive. Mm-hmm. Fertile. That's a pretty good word, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What was
building up?
Fertile.
They have a stock market. High yield.
High yield. Yeah. Just for fun. As long as we're going with stock market terms and high yield, it isn't a stock market term, but what's a nice opposite that you can pull out of that one? Keep, high, and hyphen. I don't know if it's occurring to you like it is to me. Yeah, you might want to go to low yield, but I'm encouraging you to go someplace else. High yield as opposed to something else. Here's what I'm thinking. Fruitful means good things are coming from what you're doing. I don't know if that's a good opposite, but it seems like to me it might. You know, one, there's a productivity that comes from it. The other one sort of sucks up the productivity of everybody around you just to keep you happy. Or to keep you happy. High risk might be another one to say, but it suddenly struck me, John, as you said that, but I don't think I've got it written on here anyway, but
you have to have a high yield.
Yeah. It seems to me that might be better than just saying low yield. Any others? Actually, it is on here. I wrote down low maintenance as a synonym on here, and I have it in brackets because that says it's my word and not T.W. Hunt's word. And then I have a little arrow that says high maintenance for the next one, question mark. So I have been thinking about that before, it looks like.
They have prolific.
Okay. Now, before I go into the opposites on the one side, Satan tries to pull us there. If that doesn't work, the perversion, Satan tries to push us there. Before I go there, I want to explore what this word means, what this term means a little bit more deeply by taking you to a few scripture verses, because I think this is one that has a spiritual context to the term that some of the others maybe don't, or maybe a different way of saying it has a spiritual context that isn't necessarily immediately clear. Maybe that's the right way to say it. So I'd like to take you to a couple of places, and an obvious place to those of you who know about these things is in John, and I'd like you to look in John chapter 15. Mm-hmm. Verse 1 of chapter 15 of the book of John, Jesus is speaking. Where is he speaking? Where is this? Where is the place where these words were said? I don't think so. I think he's in the upper room, and I think we think of this as the Last Supper. I think so. Okay? And we usually think of Jesus being there with his 12 disciples, the 12 disciples sitting at a long table, two of them leaning like this, one leaning back this way, one with a finger like this, one with a finger like this, because there's an image that has come. Right? And that wasn't the Sistine Chapel, I don't think, for those years, 8 o'clock. Did you see the cartoon this week that flashed through my head when that little... You weren't in the 8 o'clock service. You don't know what I'm talking about. Don't worry about it. I'm going to talk to you in a moment or two. Those of you who are in the 8 o'clock service, when he came to that point of talking about the picture of the Sistine Chapel, do you remember the cartoon that came this week that had the same subject? Okay. No, it's a cartoon. I think the cartoon strip is Zit. I meant to go cut it out. It was so funny. They have this kid in there whose name is Pierce. And he is thoroughly tattooed, and he has metal studs and all kinds of things just everywhere on him. And one of his friends says to him, which is the piece that you've had done on your body that you're most proud of? And he said, I had the pictures from the roof of the Sistine Chapel tattooed on the roof of my mouth. And then he said, I've noticed that when I'm in crowds with Catholics, they genuflect when I yawn. It sort of took away the impact of that moment in the service when that little cartoon strip went running back across my mind. I think he may have just said people genuflect or kneel or something when I yawn. Anyway, we think of there being Jesus and his 12 disciples. Remember where we were last week? We think of Jesus and his 12 disciples going here and there, but Luke, tail end of chapter 7, start of chapter 8, tells us that there were a group of women going with him too. We don't know how big the group was. Therefore, we don't really know how many people were in that upper room. The tradition says it was Jesus and the 12 disciples. Very likely it was. But it's not impossible that there might have been some other people there. And in any event, in that room, he says, verse 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears no fruit, what happens? Cuts away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, pruning is not what happens to a date. I think I've got my fruit right. What does pruning mean? Cut back. So that it comes in with... Is pruning comfortable and pleasant?
No.
Well, it depends on whether vegetables have feelings. Okay. Verse 4, remain in me as I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit all by itself unless it remains part of the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, with me in him, bears fruit in plenty. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. So, what does bearing fruit mean? Are we talking plums and pears? Are we talking apples and oranges? We are using an analogy here, aren't we? Now, as you ponder that, I want to lay something alongside of this. We're having an interesting experience at the place where I work. We have had a retreat. We went away and sat in a room with each other for close on to 48 hours and looked each other in the face and said some things that were hard to say and talked about them, and all of a sudden we're to the point of talking about some things we haven't talked about before. And one of those questions is, what is a good measure of productivity for a chemistry department? So, among the conclusions we're coming to are there ought to be answers to that question that lead to assessment, that lead to things you can look to and say, if I see these things, then you are productive, and if I don't see these things, you are not productive.
But they may also lead to more questions.
Oh, sure.
For scientists.
Well, for our particular group, we get lots of questions. Yes, Chris.
I think that we're going to be only productive if we follow Jill's teaching on Sunday, but I need to know how to apply this in everyday life. We are here to make a difference in the life of people. And people are my first
interest. So, for me, that just becomes a blessing. God has promised the blessed stones and the glory. I'm reminded of a story by an Orthodox rabbi, He's on an airplane. Next to him is a professor from the University of Chicago.
I'm glad it wasn't Richmond.
They get into a conversation, and the gentleman from the University of Chicago asks the rabbi where he's going, and he says, I'm going to one of my students' plays. And the rabbi says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm business. And they get talking. He says, well, you've had so many more students than I have. You must go to an awful lot of plays. And for this rabbi who teaches rabbinical school to small groups of students, he says that it would be unthinkable for my students to not invite me to their wedding. And not only that, but to pay my way to come to their wedding. And in all his innocence, he turns to this professor and says, you must go to many weddings. And that professor said, I've never been invited once. So who's making the impact? What's the impact that you have in the chemistry department on someone's life outside of chemistry? Mm-hmm. My wife teaches nursing, and everywhere we go walking around the town, when we run into our old students, and come up and say thank you. And that's what I'm most proud of.
That's pretty good for a chemistry professor, or maybe even a rabbi who's teaching rabbinical logic. What's fruitful for a Christian? What's Jesus talking about when he says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you'll bear fruit in plenty? George?
Can I add another synonym that might tie into
this? Sure.
Okay. Nourishing. Fruit is nourishing. And all of those point to the fact that we should be nourishing those around us.
Okay. Not sure you're through yet. You're making a good start, yes, Bill.
To me, the characteristic of fruit that makes it fruit is that whatever nourishment we get from it, whatever you get, whatever, that every fruit has within itself the seed to reproduce. And it is the reproducing of the fruit that we get as of ourselves. But what Jesus, I think, is saying is, you are fruit of me, and you're abiding in me, so you need to reproduce what I have in you, and then have that to influence others to reproduce that in them. It's a carrying on of the Christ life.
I wish I had done better at what I'm about to do. I'm not prepared to do this correctly, but I think I can get close with your help. We have a motto for our church. And somewhere else in another document, we have a mission for our church. The motto is now, I think, written on the wall of the downstairs lobby area, right? Okay, what's that motto?
Proclaiming the grace of God.
Proclaiming the grace of God.
Growing followers
of Christ. Okay? Proclaiming the grace of God brings people to a relationship with the Lord. And when they have been brought to a relationship with the Lord, then our work is to help them grow in that discipleship, in that relationship. Where's the fruit in that process?
Oh, through God.
I think it stands between those two halves. If we proclaim the grace of God in the right way, people come. Lives are changed. People come into a saving relationship with the Lord. And now the rest of our work goes from there. And the fruit is the changed lives, the people who have come to a saving relationship with the Lord and are now ready to be discipled, ready to be helped along their journey, ready to find their place of service after they have first the milk and then the meat, and then they help other people find milk and meat. Galatians 5:22, where we're going to go when we reach that line down there, has a list of the fruit of the Spirit. Is that what he's talking about?
Application of those gifts. The application,
okay,
of the gifts.
I have an assertion to make, and that is no. That's the fruit the Spirit produces in me or in you if things are working as they're supposed to do. And the fruit the Spirit produces makes it possible for me or for you to produce fruit. Fruit is changed lives. Fruit is people, as Chris said a few moments ago. If proclaiming the grace of God, growing disciples of Christ. In between those two is where the fruit is. That's where the, if you will, the productivity, the yield, and so forth is. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. The other is indispensable. The fruit of the Spirit, that's indispensable to this. But that's not the fruit I produce. That's the fruit the Spirit produces in me. That's not the fruit you produce. It's the fruit the Spirit produces within you that makes it possible for this kind of fruit to be produced. I believe that's the right way to look at this, and I think if we don't look at it this way, we're liable to get a little confused about what this term means. Yes, John?
I was kind of amazed at when Christ changed my life, how just that change changed other people's lives that I was associated with him.
That's the way it's supposed to work. But you're right, it's still amazing when it does. It doesn't make it any less amazing when things happen the way God meant for them to happen. Anybody else? Still in chapter 15, take a look at verse 16. And I want to actually start at verse 14 to come into this. You are my friend, Jesus said. He said this to the people in the room, and I believe he says this to his followers of every age. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I will no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I've learned from my Father. So here's verse 16. You did not choose me. No, I chose you. And I commissioned you to do what? To go out and bear fruit. Now what does it say in the next verse? Fruit that will last. Fruit that won't spoil. I heard somebody say fruit that will last. What's the next word after that? Or the next two words? Yours says that. Mine says so that. You could say in order that. What's the rest of the verse? My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. When God answers prayers, Scripture seems to teach that the prayers that come from fruitful people are prayers that most often end up answered. Sometimes in funny ways, but they end up answered in ways that line up with prayer. Sometimes the prayers aren't lined up right with the Lord. God answers prayers according to His will. I just stepped into a pretty complicated subject, and I don't want to stay there too very long. But I do suggest there is something very interesting about going out and bearing fruit, fruit that will last, that seems to connect with a solid prayer life. And those people that you have known who are prayer warriors, most of them, I think, would have that characteristic, that they were pretty fruitful people too. John, I saw your hand.
The prosperity gospel has used that as part of their... They're thinking, whereas it really means if you're asking in behalf of somebody else instead of not asking for.
Yeah, I think that sounds more consistent. Chris?
Every Christian should have a desire to bear fruit. In doing so, to become more like Jesus. And we need to be consistent.
Yeah.
People have talked about unanswered prayers. I don't think there are any unanswered prayers. It may not be the answer we want to hear, but I don't think God just doesn't answer prayer. It may be, a friend of mine told me once, it could be go slow or no. Go meaning, yeah, this is what I want you to do.
Slow down, you're not ready, yes.
Slow down or no.
Are any of you sharp enough to figure out why I started at verse 14 and didn't start at verse 16? Read verse 17 and see if you can figure it out.
It's kind of plain.
What does verse 14 say? I see an if in there, right? If you do what I command. What does verse 17 say?
Do what I
This is my command. What's the commandment?
Love
each other. All the stuff in between works when you do what Jesus commands. And the number one command is love each other. I don't know how much snaps into place for you with that thought. A lot snaps into place for me. Love is not a passive, it is an active verb as used in the New Testament. It does not mean an attitude. It means action. Things that I do. Yeah, Jim?
I just want to mention, we got a men's conference coming up in March. And the leader of that conference is a football coach who's a former pro football player who has taken boys from all walks of life and crafted championship teams by telling them to love each other. And that's his whole theme is, you guys love each other and cover for each other and you'll play good football. Mm-hmm. And it's I've read his book and it's worth being there for you guys.
In a weird and upside down way that doesn't look like it at the time, that's what the Army and the Marine Corps do in basic training. They build in you an attitude of concern. I don't know that they would ever use the word love for it, but it comes pretty close to what they're talking about here, what Jesus is talking about here. A concern for the other people in your unit. And they do it in very harsh ways. Chances are this football coach might also.
How come you left out Air Force?
Because I haven't been to basic training in the Air Force. I've been to basic training in the Army, and I've heard about the Marine Corps, and it sounded worse. There is, I suppose, a little bit of prejudice coming out of that. Yeah. Are you ready now to move to opposites? Because if you understand the word fruitful for what it means, then I think you're ready for the opposites. Janie is looking at her card, trying to decide which one to offer.
Okay, Darren.
Darren, great word.
Ooh, yeah.
Great word.
And that's not even on the list.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's on there as fruitless.
Oh, but it doesn't say barren.
Oh, barren is so much better. Barren is so much better. That's a great word. But the word that they use there, that barren, I think, is a much better version of is fruitless. Okay, you've got here productive. A few of these, I think, you can go to pretty quickly. Some of these are easy. Okay. The word fertile might also be caught up in this. The word fertile might also be caught up in this.
Destructive.
Poisonous. Louder.
Poisonous.
That's your card.
Worthless.
Any branch that doesn't produce fruit, what happens to it? Cut off, thrown in the fire. Why? It's soaking up nourishment. That works. Without any. Yeah, so unyielding or low yield.
Would draining be one in place of nourishing?
Yeah, that's sort of a version of this one would be.
Lifeless.
Disconnected.
Of no influence.
Lifeless, disconnected, of no influence. Mine says hollow. That's one of the words that my friends with the workbooks are looking at, right? Yeah. And another word that I thought was pretty good was ineffective. So hollow, empty, ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want, as long as you're still looking at John 15, you are still looking at John 15, right? I want to go back to a phrase. Verse 16, you did not choose me, no, I chose you, and I commissioned you to go out and bear fruit, comma, fruit that will last. Can you make a connection with that one to something else Jesus said? Try Matthew 13. There are places in Mark, and there's a place in Mark and a place in Luke that have parallels for this. Matthew 13, verse 1, that same day, Jesus left the house. What house? And sat by the lakeside, but such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. The people all stood on the shore, and he told them many things in parables. I have a picture of this being a bay where the people could be sort of around him in an amphitheater, and he pulls the boat out a little bit where he's equidistant for all of them. And he said, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the edge of the path, and the birds came and ate those seed up. Others fell on patches of rock where they found little soil and sprang up at once. But because there was no depth of earth, as soon as the sun came up and they were scorched, not having any roots, they withered away. Do you see that phrase in John? I commissioned you to produce fruit that will last. What's the key to producing fruit that lasts? Fruit. Now, in the John 15 version, it's connections to the vine. In this version, it's roots, connections to the source of nourishment in both cases. It's the same picture in both cases, just a little bit different agrarian model, right? So, what I'd like to do for just a moment is take you to one of my favorite verses. And so, from Virginia and Willie and you, on this side, I'd like for you to look up 2 Kings chapter 19. And this side of the room, I'd like you to look up Isaiah chapter 37. Tell me when you found 2 Kings 19. I want you to find verse 30. I hope this works. You guys over here, find Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31. Isaiah 37, verse 31. And 2 Kings 19, 30. Okay? Do you have in your translation a comma in that verse? A comma? Rats.
I do.
Ah, somebody over here has a comma. Somebody over here has a comma. Is that right? Okay.
2
Kings 19:30. Uh-huh. Hold on a minute. I'm looking. Yeah. Okay? So here's what I want to try. I was going to try it a different way. Okay? Rick, would you or Susan or somebody back there, would you read your verse? And you guys follow along.
Is, and you who are left in Judah, comma, who have escaped the ravages of the cities, comma, will take root again in your own soil, comma, and you will flourish and multiply.
Okay? How close is that to your verse? If you take a particular translation and look at those two verses, the wording should be virtually identical. It's the same verse. One's over in the histories and one's over in the prophets. The history books are quoting one of the prophets. That's what's happening. Okay? Does anybody have a different way of wording that? Try yours.
And the remnant who have escaped from the house of Judah shall again take root downward.
Take root downward
and bear fruit.
You see this picture? How do I produce fruit? With the exception of tubers, like potatoes, most of the fruit, right, is above ground. Vegetables may be below ground, fruit above ground. That means that tomatoes and the ketchup weren't vegetables, no matter what President Reagan thought. Maybe that's the distinction between vegetables and fruit. I don't know, because you got the leafy things that sort of fall in the middle of that. But if you think about it, fruit is up here, but you don't get fruit if you don't have roots down here. So what did the parable of the sower say? Did you pick it up? Do you see now what I was talking about? There is some seed that sprouts quickly, but when the sun comes up, instead of the sun producing life and providing life, it scorches it all away. And what's the reason for that?
No roots.
Okay. Now, these are agrarian words trying to build a metaphor for people. And the metaphor is, you got to have connections with spiritual strength. And that's not in you. That's never in you. In John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You have to be connected to me. That's the source of nourishment for the fruit-producing part of the vine. In these pictures, it's roots below. That's the wording I really like. Roots below allows the possibility of fruit above. Can you turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 7?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Out of the fruitful, I may be beyond it or whatever, I don't know, but all of that process in growing the fruit, is there a portion in there that you protect the fruit from rotting once you grow it?
I think the word nourishing might very well catch that. I think if you think about reproduction of parents and children and all that, that there's a little of that hiding in there. If there's a good word you can give me, I think that word deserves a place there. But remember our motto, proclaiming the grace of God, growing disciples of Christ. The fruit is in between the two, I think. Okay. If you found Colossians 2, let me read verse 6 and 7. So then, as you receive Jesus as Lord and Christ, now live your lives in Him. Be rooted in Him and built up on Him, held firm by the faith you've been taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. That's once again talking about the roots. We've got just a couple of minutes to work on this. What are some perversions that come? If Satan can't pull you to where you're fruitless, he's going to try to push you into a perversion of fruitful. Yeah.
One of the plastic fruit.
Oh, I like that. I watched my mama once take a bite of an apple. Amazing look on her face.
Wow.
Somebody else was reading out of T.W. Hunt.
I said obsessed with numbers. And I see that in many churches.
If there are not two P's, don't tell me, please.
Overbearing.
Proud.
Yeah, if you got this one, proud and vain start to come in a little bit, right?
They just start to come in. Mine says success-driven. I remember hearing about a missionary who worked someplace for 15 years and had, I think, no converts or maybe just one or two, left and came home. And then 15 years later, 20 years later, those one or two had started a movement. And when other missionaries came back in, they found a flourishing and active and good group of active Christians all coming out of the work. But, you know, at first you can't tell.
All of those deal with this perversion based on the root. And should there be some perversive words in there where Satan takes us away from the root and keeping us fruitful in the wrong root?
I think maybe that's what this part is. I'm producing fruit, and I'm doing it out of my power. I that's the way I would read these particular words in this particular context. Yeah.
Can I have one perversion, like overloaded for perversion, but loaded for a synonym for fruitful, and then maybe as a
opposite empty.
Yeah, there's a couple of them over here that might very well be on either side. We're running low on time. It looks like we're going at the rate of one a week. Let me take just a second and say just two things. There is a temptation sometimes when folks are not fruitful to explain away by the circumstances the reason there is no fruit. That's, again, dangerous because the example I just gave, somebody can work and work in a given field, using the metaphor a little further, and not see immediate results visibly, but the results are still there. I think of these wonderful people in our church, especially today, who work with our children, who work with our high school students. They are investing, and sometimes investing without a whole lot visibly week by week to show for it. But years later, you find out what a difference it makes. I remember at this point, I think it was this year, maybe it was late last year, a grandmother came into Barbara's classroom and brought with her a young man. Did he have his uniform on? I can't remember. But it was a kid in Barbara's kindergarten class from years ago that could have been lost by the system. And it was a trying year for Barbara to work with that kid. And here the kid was out of high school getting ready to go into the military and, you know, looked good and seemed good. And the grandmother was thanking Barbara for what she had done. She would never have known that anything had happened if the grandmother had brought that kid back. Those kinds of things do happen. Sometimes even in college, somebody comes back and says, thank you. Sometimes that does happen. We're going to quit with this. Jesus' command in Matthew's was the Great Commission, go. But what else did he say? He said, actually, the word is as you go. Make disciples. Baptize. And what? Teach them to obey everything. Can you hear that same process in there? Go. And make disciples, bear fruit, and then cultivate that fruit. I think whoever was talking about, Willie, the need for words that talked about protecting the fruit and all the rest of that, I think those are implicit in those kinds of phrases.
And he gave us the promise that as we go, we will be with us, so we don't go alone.
What's Jesus' number one command? Go and teach them everything, to obey everything I have commanded you. What is his number one command?
No.
Love each other. That's a good place to stop. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you that you have put fruitful people in the world to be an example for us. We pray that you would help let us see them as being children of yours, guided by you, and made fruitful by your power working in them. Help us understand that if we cooperate with the work of your Spirit, if we surrender our will to yours and are guided by you, we can be fruitful too, and that the world needs fruitful people, fruitful in these ways. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.